a look at mental health funding in the context of gun control. I'm David Brancaccio with the Marketplace Midday Update. As you have probably been hearing, President Obama is speaking this morning about increasing background checks for those purchasing firearms. He also wants to assign more FBI personnel to the review process. And there's more. Marketplace's Dan Gorenstein joins us now. Dan, you routinely cover healthcare policy for us. What's the angle here?
The White House points out that more than 100,000 Americans have been killed in the last decade, with millions more being victims of crimes involving guns. So they've proposed several steps to address this crisis. For one, they're calling on Congress to invest $500 million in expanding access to mental health services. Another is having federal agencies research gun safety technology. That comes directly from a 2013 Institute of Medicine report.
What sort of impact might these moves have, do you think?
Public health officials say addressing mental health is welcome, but it's unlikely to have a big impact. Even the administration says people with mental illness are more likely to be victims than perpetrators. What healthcare people really want is expanded federal research into this area, like do open carry laws deter or increase shootings, or whether background checks work. The CDC hasn't been able to study questions like that since 1996, thanks to an act of Congress.
And Dan, remind us, which are some of the largest firearms companies in the U.S.?
Well, you've got Smith & Wesson from Springfield, Massachusetts, and Southport, Connecticut's Sturm Ruger, both publicly traded. Then there's the private equity firm Cerberus, which owns Freedom Group, carrying brands like Bushmaster and Remington. Incidentally, David, both Smith & Wesson and Sturm Ruger stocks were up yesterday, while the rest of the market hit the tank.
Perhaps in anticipation of the added sales by buyers who are worried about stricter limits ahead. Marketplace's Dan Gorenstein, thank you.
Thank you.
In this first week of 2016, one influential change to the law is in California, what's called the Fair Pay Act. Marketplace's Adrian Hill reports.
California's Fair Pay Act has been called one of the toughest equal pay laws in the country. Noreen Farrell heads Equal Rights Advocates, which helped push the legislation.
It has very strong anti-retaliation provisions.
That means I can talk to my coworkers about my salary without getting in trouble with the boss. The law also says men and women should be paid the same for substantially similar work.
So this law makes really clear that you're looking beyond job titles and you're looking at what people actually do.
And the law says pay differentials must be explainable by factors like seniority and merit. It's a provision that has some California companies scrambling to do detailed analyses of their payrolls. Christina Lonnie is a partner at Safer Shaw.
That requires developing appropriate employee groupings, isolating factors that explain pay, adjusting the model.
She says companies also have to train HR and document all pay decisions. It's not cheap, but advocates say it could help close the lingering pay gap between men and women. I'm Adrian Hill for Marketplace.
Marketplace reporters have been looking at the year ahead through the prisms of their beats. From the Marketplace Sustainability Desk, Scott Tong joins me now to sort through what's ahead in energy and the environment. Good morning to you, Scott.
Good morning, David.
The price of a barrel of crude has plunged from something more than $100 a barrel a couple of summers ago to something mid to upper 30s a barrel. I mean, where do we go from here?
Well, we go to more pain in the oil patch. Here in the U.S., the oil and gas industry has lost about 70,000 jobs already. A dozen small drilling companies have already gone under. So expect a lot more of that. Elsewhere, there are fundamental questions facing the Alaska budget. Other drillers around the world, Venezuela's economy has crashed. The Gulf producers have fiscal issues. So it's going to continue to get bad, according to most projections. Now, the saying is low prices cure low prices, right? Producers cut back, there's less supply in the market, and that will eventually push prices back up. But the conventional wisdom is prices may stay perhaps in the $50 range. Certainly not a lot of people talking about it going back to $100, David.
What about natural gas, another key source of energy? That's cheap as well.
Near record lows in the U.S. market, and that is hurting producers, drillers there as well. But it's also pushing coal out of the electricity system. And then you have what's called the EPA Clean Power Plan, new climate rules for power plants. Those are going to be challenged in court this coming year. But this could be a year of reckoning for the coal mining sector. We've already seen a lot of bankruptcies, especially here in the eastern part of the United States, and watch for more of that.
Speaking of electricity, what's on the way as far as electric vehicles? We had a bad year for diesel, courtesy of Volkswagen. What about electric cars?
2016 should bring us at least three vehicles in the $30,000-something range, and vehicles that can drive not 100 miles, but perhaps 200 miles per charge. I spoke with vehicle analyst Sam Jaffe at Cairn Energy Research Advisors, and he says for all these challenges, the technical challenge of a longer-lasting, affordable battery has largely been solved.
The battery industry has crossed that valley. They're on the other side now. The car industry is still digesting that piece of news and trying to develop these cars that can take advantage of these cheap and durable batteries that are now available.
Of course, David, after the Paris Climate Summit, there's a lot riding on non-fossil fuel transportation and electricity. So the key to next year and beyond is for this political signal to translate into policies, to subsidies, rules, and eventually market signals for all this to happen.
From the Marketplace Sustainability Desk, Scott Tong, thank you.
Thanks, David.
And just a few steps from the Marketplace New York Bureau here, a temporary plywood pyramid has weirdly appeared at the corner with a label suggesting that free Wi-Fi is on the way. Turns out New York City has just begun replacing payphones with free hotspots. By July, there are supposed to be 499 more of what will eventually look like black and gray Wi-Fi monoliths. And in lieu of payphones, where will Superman change into his costume? Yeah, I know, it's a problem. I don't have a solution to it yet, but I'm working on it. In New York, I'm David Brancaccio with the Marketplace Midday Update from APM, American Public Media.
The world can be a confusing place for kids, and finding the words to explain it all can be tricky, too. Introducing Million Bazillion, a Webby-winning podcast from Marketplace that takes your kids on exciting adventures to answer the awkward and complex questions they have about money. Each week, we tackle hard-hitting inquiries from kid listeners like,
what is a college account and how does it work?
I want to know what unions are and what they are for.
Why does the U.S. have so much gold in Fort Knox and what do they use it for?
Help your kids understand how money fits into the world around us. Listen to Million Bazillion wherever you get your podcasts.